Welcome to KRDO's Business Connection, featuring KRDO's advertisers and partners, the best of Colorado Springs businesses. Sunday mornings at 7 on KRDO News Radio 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, 92.5 FM, and streaming live at KRDO.com. Now, here is your host, Ted Robertson.
Welcome to a special edition of KRDO's Business Connection. I'm your host, Ted Robertson. Joining me today, a great partner with KRDO, Mr. Ryan Plunkett. Ryan is a financial advisor with our friends at Edward Jones, and he also does our weekly market wrap every Monday with me on KRDO's Afternoon News at 5:12. A great time to dial in and hear Ryan give his look back at the week before at the very day, and that should give you a sense with that information of how things want to look for the week ahead. But all in all, very important information. Keep money in your pocket. Keep your investments working well. That's why we have partnered with Ryan to give us this very valuable information. Ryan, today we're doing our quarterly market update and outlook, and want to first welcome you to the Business Connection and say again how much I appreciate you committing the time and resources to share this really valuable information with us and our listeners.
Well, thank you, Ted. It's my pleasure to be here with you.
So before we jump into the market outlook for the fourth quarter of 2020, can you give us an overview of what we saw in the market in the third quarter of this year?
Absolutely, Ted. You know, I think if one word can sum up 2020, not just from an investing standpoint, but just holistically, it's historic. It's just been such a historic year in so many ways. I heard someone say recently that 2020 turned out to be what we all thought Y2K was going to be. And boy, it sure has felt that way. And it's the first year since 1945 that we've seen a drop of more than 25% and a rally of more than 50% in the same calendar year. So it's just really been historic. And really, despite a turbulent September, equities continued that strong six-month rebound since the bottom of the market in March through the third quarter. We do think this bounce in economic activity provides a solid backdrop or support for the new bull market that we've seen, and we are, in fact, in a new bull market. Following that powerful six-month rally since mid-March, the S&P 500 has actually surpassed its February high, and as of close of market yesterday, the S&P 500 was up a little over 9% for the year. For the bond market, it's really been relatively flat for the third quarter, and quite a bit lower on the 10-year yield than what we have historically seen earlier this year. We've seen it drift between 0.5%, 0.7%, which is far lower than the 1.9% yield that we saw at the beginning of the year. But the Fed has pledged to keep those rates low for several years to come.
So what is Edward Jones' outlook now for the economy in the fourth quarter?
Well, Ted, our outlook for the fourth quarter is continued recovery, but likely entering a slower phase. Following that record decline we saw in GDP in the second quarter, we really saw that V-shaped recovery you heard so much about in the news, where we saw a rapid drop and a rapid recovery. And we believe that this strong rebound is likely going to give way to a slower but sustained growth as fiscal relief starts to give way to longer-term earnings and economic recovery. And as we start to see the initial boost that we got from reopening start to fade. But economic activity indicators such as tax collection data, employment numbers, electricity consumption, et cetera, suggest that as of the end of the third quarter, the economy has recovered almost two-thirds of its pandemic-induced losses that we had seen earlier in the year. So while this is a good first step, there's certainly still a lot of ground to recovery. And we anticipate the next leg of that rebound to likely take longer than the first leg has. We also think labor markets are obviously going to be a key. You know, provided that the medical solutions for the virus continue to progress well, we think that a gradual improvement in the labor markets is going to drive a durable and more self-sustaining recovery as we head into 2021. Unemployment obviously remains high. And there is going to be further unemployment gains are needed to support that handoff from stimulus to growth and help drive consumer spending, because that's really the lion's share of where our economy comes from is people spending money. But the good news is consumers are in better shape in this recession than they have been in past recessions. The personal savings rate, for example, is currently at 14.1% versus a historic average of about 7% over the last 30 years. And we're also seeing lower debt ratios for individuals as well. So that's a good thing.
That is a hugely good thing. And that kind of covers the basis for Edward Jones' outlook for the economy. Now, if we drill down a little bit more, what is the outlook then for the markets in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's break that down by stocks and bonds. So for stocks, for the long term, our outlook on stocks is positive. With support that we're seeing from economic growth as things have started to reopen, increased corporate earnings, and favorable interest rates, we consider the long-term outlook to be good. We do not believe that the gains that we've seen since March will continue at the same pace in the months ahead. And while the virus is largely going to obviously dictate market outcomes, if history is any guide, the gains that we've seen so far in the market have not exhausted the potential for future gains. So we expect long-term growth potential in the future in the equity market. In the near term, we expect this choppiness that we've seen over the last couple of weeks to likely continue for the rest of the year. There's a lot of uncertainty out there. A presidential election, possibility of waning fiscal support, rising U.S.-China tensions as far as trade goes, and, of course, the pandemic. And the market hates uncertainty. So I would not be surprised at all if we continue to see the market take a breather along the way, like we've seen over the last few weeks, where it's up 1%, down 1%, up 2%, down 2%. As one of my friends calls it, the market gets indigestion from time to time. And we wouldn't be surprised to continue to see that continue through the end of the year. In the bond market, the Federal Reserve has really gone to extraordinary measures to provide liquidity to the market, and they intend to continue to do that for the next several years.
Based on the market outlook you just discussed, back to that question again, what actions should investors take at this time?
Well, and of course, that's an answer dependent on each individual person's situation, because investing is certainly not a one-size-fits-all business. But for general recommendations on a way forward, stay balanced and diversified, but also opportunistic. You know, have some cash on the sidelines, some dry powder, to be able to take advantage of opportunities you see in the market. And really, that diversification across a broad mix of asset classes and sectors is really your best bet against defending against volatility. It doesn't protect you or prevent loss in investing, but it helps spread your risk so you don't have all of your eggs in one basket. And that holds true for the stock and bond side of your portfolio.
Ah, okay. We're very grateful for this information that you're providing. So let's shift gears for a minute and tell me how you work with your clients to help them prepare for those volatile market conditions like we've seen this year.
No, absolutely. That's a great question. It's really a very simple but effective approach. And first and foremost, it starts with understanding what's important to them, understanding their why, just taking time to listen and get a deep understanding of where they're trying to get with their financial and life goals. Secondly, we use an established process to really tailor and customize a strategy to their goals and their risk tolerance, in essence, helping them chart a course from how do I get from where I am today to my why. And then the third step is we walk that journey with them. We partner with them throughout their lifetime to take that journey with them, to keep them on track. And for me, it's an honor to be a part of that journey because it's a very, very personal process to be a part of that.
Can you give us a little insight into what that process looks and feels like? You have an expression that you use to describe it.
Oh, yeah, I equate it to a road trip. You know, unfortunately, the way that most of us approach retirement is like somebody handing you a road map with no city names and no street names on it and saying retirement somewhere in that general direction, good luck. And basically, the process that we're using is determining our starting point on that map, filling in the city names so we know the destinations and the stops along the way that we want to make on our road trip to our why. Filling in the street names to show you, can I get there from here? What turns do I need to take between today and my why in order to get there in the amount of time that I want to? And then taking that journey at the right speed that you're comfortable with and setting your expectations for how bumpy that ride's going to be. And then we ride shotgun with you and keep that plan up to date. So each and every year, we're reviewing your whole plan to make sure that as life changes, our route on our road trip is still going to get us where we need to be at when we want to arrive at our why.
Now, Ryan, we all know that smart people ask for directions, right? And on occasion,
absolutely,
you run into people who are managing their own investments or they're working with another advisor. How can those people, if they are so inclined, get a second opinion on what they are doing with their investments or what is being done with their investments? In other words, how can they ask for directions?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, probably next to your doctor, a good relationship with a financial advisor will probably have the greatest long-term impact on your long-term well-being of any professional relationship. The difference being, no matter how good your doctor is, they're going to lose one day. You know, if we do this right, this is a generational impact. And while we're certainly not looking to get in the middle of a good relationship, just like a medical second opinion, I think a financial second opinion is always a great thing to have. Basically, the way I approach that is it's no cost, it's no obligation, and there's certainly no pressure. And I'm taking a look at three things: the cost that you're currently paying for your current investments, the quality of your current investments, and the amount of risk you're taking in your current investments to see if that's appropriate for you. And if you're doing things great, I'm going to tell you, press on. You're doing a great job. But if there's areas for improvement, I'm going to give you those as well.
Always, yeah, and always upfront, always very transparent. It always working for the best interest of that particular person seeking that guidance and advice from you. How about let's look at some more information here on top of everything that you've shared. There is a full 8-page report that's available.
Yeah, absolutely. Edward Jones produces the Quarterly Market Outlook. It just came out last Friday. Of course, we do it each quarter. And this quarter's report is an 8-page report that includes much more detailed information on what we covered, as well as the outlook on international markets. So if anyone's interested in that full report or subscribing to future reports, we can certainly help them with that.
And the best way to reach you, not only to connect and engage with you, but if people are interested in obtaining a copy of that 8-page report.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If they would like a copy of that report, if they would like to know, are their current investment portfolios prepared for what lies ahead that we just discussed, or they would like that second opinion, they can call us at 719-380-1177. Again, that's 719-380-1177. Or they can stop by and see us at 5713 Constitution Avenue, which is on the southwest corner of Constitution Avenue and Powers Boulevard.
Right. The big landmark there is the Walgreens, I believe, and you
that's
can't
right.
miss that. So, Ryan, finally, as the time, the clock ticks out on us here, we're going to do this visit once a quarter, by the way, so that everyone knows. And, of course, you'll be with us every Monday afternoon at 12 minutes after 5 here on KRDO's Afternoon News, or on KRDO's Afternoon News. You have another event coming up on the 21st that's really going to be of benefit to people who are interested.
Yeah, absolutely. You and I will be talking live at 5:30 on the 21st, and that's, we generally call that our financial focus discussion. It kind of varies on different topics depending on what we're seeing in the forefront of the economic investment horizon at the time. And what we're going to be discussing on the 21st of October at 5:30 is really what we call vote for a solid investment strategy, which really revolves around not letting the elections dictate your long-term investment strategy.
Oh, goodness. I am so looking forward to 5:30 on the 21st. First on KRDO's Afternoon News. Ryan, I cannot thank you enough. You're listening to the voice of Mr. Ryan Plunkett. This is our quarterly market update. Join us live on October 21st at 5:35, and that will be a financial focus discussion on not letting elections dictate your long-term investment strategy. Strange days we're in, no doubt. You can get the latest, of course, on the financial markets for the week and the day. Again, Monday, 5:12, only on KRDO's Afternoon News. And, of course, Mr. Plunkett is our preferred financial advisor. Great advice, great information. Ryan, thanks for spending a few minutes with us here on KRDO's Business Connection today.